last Wednesday night, we started a consideration of some thoughts in the realm of prayer. Last week, we talked about the hindrances of prayer. And all of us know that as we study the Word of God, that one of the greatest privileges that we have ever been given as a believer is the privilege to come to God in prayer. God has granted to us the opportunity to openly commune with Him, to fellowship with Him, to speak with Him, and to do so at any time. He's invited us to come unto Him those days when we are weary and heavy laden, and He has promised that He would give to us rest. We have been instructed to come to Him because He cares for us, so we are to cast all of our care upon Him, knowing He cares. Not only are we privileged to come, but we are also blessed because God in mercy and grace has manifested Himself to us. He has made it possible for us not only to receive from Him, not only to have the request to be answered, but God has made it possible and He affords us the special relationship of being able to walk personally with Him in seasons of prayer. One of the most interesting passages, or maybe one of the nicest verses that you can read in the Old Testament, is found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. In Jeremiah 29, beginning really in verse 10, verses 11 through 13 are there for you, but verse 10 says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word towards you, and causing you to return to this place." And then he continues on. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." God had given a tremendous blessing to the children of Israel by that promise. If we study Israel's history, you know and understand that the people of Judah are now being sent off into captivity at the hands of Babylon. They are doing so because they, like the people of Israel, the 10 tribes, had followed after other gods. God had warned them not to go into idolatry, but still they followed, just like Israel. And God has now come to Judah and said, "Your time of captivity is now at hand. I will remove you from the land, and you will be the servant of another." And God even told him, it will be for a space of 70 years. Jeremiah comes to them and he tells them this wonderful truth, that at the time of those 70 years, I will visit you again. And you will seek me with all of your heart. And you'll know the blessing of a personal fellowship, a personal walk again with me. Folks, God desires that you and I know the great blessing of fellowship in prayer. There are times within our lives that we struggle to pray. We talked about that last week. There are times even in our prayer life that our prayers are hindered and God stops hearing our requests because of sin. The Bible tells us our sin has separated between us and God so that He will not hear us when we pray. But folks, God does all of that not because He is thinking evil, but because His thoughts are always good. His desire is that we would return unto Him, that we would long for Him and search for Him with all of our heart, because God has given to us this wonderful blessing of prayer, that we are able to commune with God as friend is with friend, to be able to enter into the very throne of grace and to find mercy and strength to help in time of need. What a wonderful God who has given us a wonderful privilege. Come. Come and enjoy the time of prayer. Tonight, as we come to the study of God's Word, I want to consider simply an exhortation to be faithful in time of prayer. Bow with me, please, in a word of prayer and then we'll take up our consideration tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to come and consider your word and the truth of it. Lord, I pray that you would teach us as we consider the thoughts of the sweet promise of prayer. And Lord, that we would then heed the exhortation to not be faithless when we pray. For Lord, you want us to be faithful and full of faith. So Father, we'll thank you and praise you for this time that we have now together tonight to consider these thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1 tonight, look with me if you would, at verse 5 through verse 8. James says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As we come to this passage tonight, we first find the sweet promise of God's answered prayer. God has promised, folks, that he would answer us when we pray. We often sing the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from this world of care. Truly, it is a sweet and wonderful blessing and wonderful promise that God has said that he would hear, that he would answer us when we pray. The reality is sometimes we struggle with prayer. We struggle because of the hindrances in our own life, and because we look at our life and because we consider that we're not really worthy to be able to come before God and ask of these things, we struggle really to bring the request. We then our prayer life simply ceases. But God wants you and I to enjoy the seasons of prayer and be faithful in our time of prayer. Why? Because he has given us the sweet promise that he would answer us when we pray. There's the sweet promise of answered prayer. The Bible gives us many precious promises in the scripture that tells us that God will hear us, that God will answer. We're not going to look at all of them. I want you to look with me at James again, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he, God, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given unto him. I want you to notice with me how sweetly the promise is given to us. Three things I want you to see with me. First of all, in this promise, we are instructed to ask when we are in need. We're instructed to ask when we are in need. Notice what it says. If any of you lack, let him ask. Now it says here specifically, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. James is writing to a people that are struggling again because they are scattered, because they are facing trials and persecution. And what they needed was wisdom to be able to know how to live and handle the things as they are coming upon them. But folks, here's the reality. You can substitute whatever the need is there. If it's not wisdom or something else, the reality is God says, if you lack, I want you to ask. If you lack wisdom, ask of me, it will be given unto you. If there is a need in your life and there is a physical need, ask. He desires to give. Our Father desires to do good unto his children. And again, you put that with all the other promises of Scripture, folks, and simply we find the instruction. When you are in need, God says, ask. What a wonderful blessing that he has promised to hear. He instructs us that when there is a need, any need, to come and ask that he might meet it. Our Heavenly Father delights to meet the needs in our lives. Here's the reality, folks. There is no need too small nor too great that God cannot meet. But you have to ask. He wants you to ask. You might be sitting here tonight and go, there's a need in my life. God says, ask of me. He promises us that He desires to meet our needs, but we have to ask. Matter of fact, James is going to say later on simply this in James 4 and verse 2, "Ye have not because you ask not." Now, folks, all of us understand the principle. We've enacted this principle in our own lives. As parents, some of us in the realms of employment, I can't pretend to read everybody's mind. But what I want them to do is come and ask. If they don't ask, I can't answer, right? If you ask, I can answer. But I can't answer if you don't ask. I can't give unless you let me know of the need. Folks, that's what God's saying. He's instructing us, when there's a need, ask that you might receive of Him. Then we're informed that God will generously supply. God will generously supply. If any of you ask wisdom, let him ask of God. Notice that giveth to all men liberally. It's the only time in the New Testament that we as conservative, independent, fundamental Baptists like the word liberal. God says, if you ask, His desire is that He will give liberally to generously meet our needs. Folks, our God is not stingy. He gives to all men liberally as they ask. His mercies abound. His resources are unending. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Philippians 4 verse 19, Paul writing to the church of Philippi says that my God is able to supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. By the way, the word riches there is the same term used in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. After telling us of the sinful condition of our heart before we were saved, it says, but God is rich in mercy. The term rich there literally speaks of the fact that His wealth is unending. It can never run dry. It doesn't matter how many withdrawals you make from the bank account of God's mercy, it will always be available to those who come. There has never been a sinner that has repented from their sin and called on Jesus Christ for their salvation that God said, I'm sorry, there's just not enough left in the account for me to pay for your sin. Because He is rich in mercy, it is unending. It's His riches that are able to meet and supply our need. I think of Psalm 23 and verse 5. David writes, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Some people debate, is it half empty? Is it half full? No, with God, it's overflowing. He is able to abundantly supply, and He generously gives for those who come and ask. Then I want you to see this one, because this is the one I think, maybe above all else, I appreciate the most in this passage. We are insulated from reproach. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I love that little phrase. We are insulated from His reproach when we come and ask. The idea of this word upbraid simply is this: to condemn or to rebuke. Ever been afraid to ask because you're afraid you'll be condemned for asking? God says that doesn't happen to His children. I remember a few years back when I was working in custodial management, my schedule was a strange kind of a schedule. It was, I started at 6 o'clock and I worked at 2:30 in the morning. That really didn't help when children had some programs at school and wanted their dad to attend at 8 o'clock at night or 7 o'clock at night. I remember realizing the fact that I needed to go, so I went into my boss and I said, listen, I need a couple hours on this night for me to go for my kids' Christmas program. You know what my immediate response was? Condemnation. I thought, wow, that's really sad. So I talked to her a little bit more, and I shared a few more things, and I convinced her that this was the right thing for her to do. And she allowed me to go. I had some pretty persuasive arguments, some things to be able to share with her to help her understand the need for this. But the reality is, it's hard when you realize, I'm going to ask, and they're not going to receive it all that well. I'm probably going to get yelled at for just asking the simple question. God says those who come to him and ask because there's a need, he doesn't condemn. He doesn't upbraid us for it. Folks, God is not angered when we ask. He's not upset with us because we have a need and we have to come and ask him. He isn't saddened because we need his help. It is not a trouble for him that we would have to come and say, Lord, there's need yet again. It's never easy to ask sometimes. But God says, I want you to come. Ask of me that I might supply generously for you. And when you come, I won't upbraid you. But in love, I'll meet and minister your needs. And notice how it ends. And it shall be given him. Folks, even when we come over and over and over again to God, he never turns us away. His desire, his instruction is, come and ask. Folks, he knows your frame. He knows your weakness. You have a high priest that is touched by the feelings of your infirmities. And that's why he said, come boldly to the throne of grace. And the Father of heaven says, come and ask that I might give. He instructs us to come. He informs us how he will meet our needs, and he promises there'll be no reproach. But verse 5 doesn't end there in the theme of prayer. It continues with verse 6, 7, and even verse 8. And there we find a stern warning against faithless prayer. There is the sweet promise of answered prayer. God says, if you come and ask, I want to give unto you. However, there is a condition. And that condition is that we come in faith. Again, look at verse 6. After God says that he shall be given him, then we find that word, verse 6, but. I've shared this with you before. I'll share it again. Anytime you read that little word, but, in your New Testament, you can understand there is now a point of contrast. There's a thought for you to consider. God says, come and ask. I will give liberally. I won't upbraid you. It shall be given. But, consider, you must ask in faith. Nothing wavering. The problem is, folks, sometimes we live our life with fear and not faith. God wants us to come and ask in faith. Notice, nothing wavering. How do you define the word nothing? You realize it's defined for you in its spelling. No thing. Or you could do it this way, not one thing. In no area of life are we to be wavering in faith. God says, come and ask of me. Nothing wavering. We're to ask in faith. The greatest enemy to our faith is fear. And God wants us to not live by fear, but to come to Him by faith. When we come to the Lord and seek His help, we are to come unto Him in faith and believe that He is able to meet our needs without fear. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 tells us that when we ask in faith, believing, He promises that we will receive of Him. But I want you to notice what it says. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Look at verse 7. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you pray without faith, don't expect to receive. God requires that we come to Him in faith. Without faith, we cannot please God, and God will not answer our prayers. So here's the question. Why then do we fear? Why are we weak in faith? What do we fear? I want you to consider with me the thought of what we fear when it comes to our time of prayer. And I want you to go with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul understood that Timothy could be one at times given to fear. And Paul, in writing to his son in the faith, says to him in verse 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The problem is, we often, instead of living by faith and asking in faith, operate by fear. So when it comes to prayer, and we have all of these promises in the Scripture to come and ask in faith, believing, and God says, I will answer you. Why are we then so afraid to come and simply ask? What do we fear? I think verse 7 gives us a clue about what we fear. And I'm going to give you three suggestions tonight that come from that verse. Number one, we fear that God is not able to meet the need. I want to ask, I want the need to be met, but in my mind, in my lack of faith, my fear says, God cannot meet this need. It doesn't matter, folks, that in our minds we know the doctrinal truth that God is all-powerful. There's nothing that He cannot do. In our minds, we still struggle with fear. And we fear that God is not able to meet that need. You say, Pastor, where do you see that in verse 7? God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power. The reason Paul would tell Timothy he gives you a spirit of power is because what we fear is God isn't able. The word power there is the Greek word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. It's a word that speaks of the miraculous power of God. You know, when I think about that term and I think about what it means, the miraculous power of God, I can't help but then think of the miracles of God and relate it then to my life. If God can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, can He not meet your needs today? Because, folks, I'll remind you of this thought. The feeding of the 5,000 wasn't that He was able to break the bread in enough little pieces so that everyone got a nibble of it. They ate till they were full, which means He created the bread and the fish out of nothing. Because bread doesn't just reproduce. And neither do dead fish. Not that quickly either. But he had the power to create the meal for them to eat. And by the way, how much was left over? One basket for every apostle. 12 baskets full. Now, I don't know if he gave it to the apostles, but I think it was a reminder to them, I'm able to supply. If God can make a blind man see for the first time, does he have the ability to open the blind eyes of those who are blind spiritually? Oh, that person will never be saved. If God can make a blind man see who's never seen, can he make a spiritually blind man see the truth? He absolutely can. If God can make the lame to walk, can he not heal our sickness and our diseases? And by the way, I think of the fact that one of the lame that he made walk had never walked. Physically speaking, there was no way those legs should be able to support his weight and to be able to move. But when Jesus said, "Arise and walk," he didn't just walk, he leaped for joy. Can he not heal us if that's his will? He is able. But sometimes we fear that God just can't meet my needs. God can't deliver me. He could part the Red Sea and hold the wall of water open long enough for 3 million people to walk over on dry land and wait for the Egyptian army to get right in the middle of it and have it fall on top of them to destroy the armies in one easy victory. Can he not deliver you? He can make Jericho fall flat by simply walking around and blowing the trumpet and the shout of the people, and victory was theirs. Folks, God is able. He has the ability to meet our needs. But we fear at times he can't. But God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power. We fear at times that God doesn't care about our need. You say, well, Pastor, where do you find that? He didn't give you a spirit of fear, power, and of love. We fear that God really just doesn't care. That's why we're told that he's given a spirit of love. Folks, the compassions of God have not failed. Never have, and they never will. If he cares about the sparrow, an insignificant little bird, doesn't he care about you? If he's willing to clothe the flowers of the field, doesn't he care to clothe you and meet your needs? If he wept at Lazarus' grave, knowing he was going to raise him again, don't you think he weeps with us when we have our loss that we have to endure? You think God really loves you? He does. We should be able to say, like the songwriter, "Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares." Folks, our Savior cares. But sometimes we're afraid to come and ask because we think God doesn't care about that. Yes, he does, because he cares about you. You say, that's not important to God. It's important to you. It becomes important to him. Because his mercies never fail. His compassions never fail. He loves you. Finally, we fear what men or God might think about our need. The reason we don't ask is we're afraid of what God or what men might think about our need. That's why we're told that we're given the gift of a sound mind. Too often we allow our minds to run away with us, and it causes us to overanalyze the situation. We talk ourselves right out of coming to the Lord in prayer. God's not going to meet this need. He can't meet this need. He doesn't want to meet this need. If I ask of that, if I share that prayer request with all the people of the church, they're going to think something's wrong with me spiritually. I can never ask of that. And we talk ourselves right out of asking God when He has told us to come. Sometimes we say things like this: God doesn't want to hear from me. I've messed up too much. He doesn't want to hear from me anymore. Yes, He does. We sometimes say, well, God doesn't want me bothered by such a trivial thought. It's too small a thing for God. We've talked ourselves right out of coming and asking. I can never admit it to others. I can never admit that in this I need God's help. That's going to make me vulnerable. What are they going to think of me? You know what, folks? In it all, God does care. God wants to meet our needs. Yet we wrestle in our own thoughts and in our thinking. So we never come and ask. Forgetting the sweet promise that if any of you lack, let him ask. But let him ask in faith. And he who comes and asks of me of that which is his need, God has promised that he will give to us liberally and upbraid us not. So ask, full of faith. Be faithful to pray. It's a wonderful blessing that God has given to us that we can come to him in prayer. He longs to meet our needs. And he's bid us to come. Sometimes we don't get anything out of our prayer life because we're hindered by it. Our sin has gotten in the way. And there needs to be a time for us to come and confess our sin before the Lord. And thankfully the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yet, folks, sometimes we don't get enough out of our prayer life because we simply just don't ask. Because we've forgotten that God has said, come and ask of me that I might give. Sometimes we ask. We wonder why God doesn't answer. Because we don't ask in faith. We come in fear before Almighty God. Now folks, we ought to fear him in the sense of a wholesome dread of displeasing him, a reverence towards him. But the Lord Jesus said, come boldly. By the way, the word there, boldly, literally means mouth wide open. Full of expectation that God's going to meet the needs. Because he wants to. He simply says, ask in faith. Let's pray together, please, as we close tonight. Our Father, we do thank you tonight for this opportunity to be able to consider these thoughts from your word. Concerning the theme of prayer yet again. Father, I pray that we would come in faith, asking and believing, and knowing that you desire to do good unto your children. So, Father, we thank you that you have made the sweet and wonderful promise that if we come and if we ask, you will give to us liberally and upbraid us not. Lord, let us now come in faith, believing. And we'll thank you for how you'll answer and meet our needs according to your perfect will. So, Father, we ask and pray your blessing now as we go, as we are dismissed, head to our homes. Give us, Lord, a good remainder of this week. May we be faithful in prayer and in living, in testimony and life, till Jesus come. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.